Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this...
When it comes to the way I look, I don't cut corners. Not in the clothes I wear.
...is The Rundown.
Or how I relax and style my hair.
For a lot of Black folks, getting a perm or relaxer, you know, getting your hair chemically straightened, is a rite of passage. Not for everybody, but it is very common.
The fact is, Dark and Lovely has successfully relaxed over 20 million heads of hair.
I used to get perms when I was a kid. And both of the people I'm talking to today did as well.
Just for me. Just for me. Now my conditioning relaxer cream.
But there has been some research over the past 10 years that has linked hair relaxers to various cancers. Here's Natalie Moore. She's an editor here at WBEZ, and she's been reporting on this.
One of the key studies in October 2022 was the National Institutes of Health that found regular hair relaxer users were more than twice as likely to develop uterine cancer as women who did not use the products. The researchers estimated that 4% of frequent users of hair straighteners would develop uterine cancer by age 70. For non-users, the risk was 1.6%.
Wow. In 2022, the first of what would end up being thousands of lawsuits was filed in federal court here in Chicago by a woman who said that the chemicals in the hair relaxers she used, products like Soft Sheen, Dark and Lovely, and Just For Me, caused her to get cancer. Natalie and our Chicago Sun-Times colleague Andy Grimm have been covering these lawsuits, and Natalie has been talking to more people with stakes in the story, including Patrice Yersick. Patrice is the creator of AfroBella.com, and she is an OG when it comes to writing about the modern natural hair movement. Today, the three of us Black women are going to talk about why relaxers have such cultural staying power. Yes, it is steeped in anti-Black racism. And what the future might look like for these products. So let's jump right into it. Natalie starts us off by getting into that very first lawsuit.
The complaint, it is worth reading. You know, a lot of it is legalese, but there are a number of footnotes in this complaint that link to many other studies.
Okay.
Now, in our reporting, we couldn't get in these researchers to talk to us, but in July 2021, there was a study where researchers found no clear evidence that hair relaxer use was associated with breast cancer risk for most women, but heavy users of lye-containing products at least 7 times a year for 15 years or more had an increased risk of breast cancer. And lye is a product that is used in relaxers. In 2012, there was a study that found that Black women had increased risk of fibroids in association with use of hair relaxers.
Wow. We're going to talk about these reproductive organs and Black women a little bit more later. For now, I would love to know how these hair care companies are defending themselves against these allegations.
They're saying that these products did not cause cancer. That's the short answer. Mm-hmm. They have put out statements saying these women are searching for answers for their health conditions, but they do not believe that the lawsuits have made legal or scientific merit-based arguments. Mm.
So they're kind of leaning into the correlation does not mean causation.
Right.
Patrice, can you tell me about your history with hair relaxers when they've come into and out of your life over the years?
When I was very, very little, I was probably about 3 years old, I had long natural hair, and a child in the neighborhood braided my hair into the chains of an iron swing.
Oh, my God.
And yes, it was not a fun experience. My mom came running out when she realized what had happened, and they had to cut my hair all the way short. So when I first went to school as a child, I had a little tennis ball afro And she insisted that I had earrings already because in the Caribbean, we pierce our ears early. Mm. But it was a such a instruction in how we are viewed and how we view each other from such an early age. It was like, okay, if I'm not wearing pink and I don't have earrings, then people don't see me right now as a little girl.
Mm.
And then when my hair grew back, it was thick. And my mother was not used to dealing with my hair. She was not used to dealing with her own hair. She was a salon baby. She loved going to the hair salon and getting her hair done.
Yes.
So from age 6, I started getting relaxers at a salon for the duration of my life in Trinidad. I left Trinidad when I was 19 years old, and I migrated to America to attend the University of Miami. And that was when my self-care hair journey began.
Mm.
Go across the street to what was then Eckerd's Pharmacy and buy boxes of relaxer and put these little gloves on and try to not burn myself or my neck or whatever.
Why did you start doing it yourself as opposed to continue perhaps going to a salon or a professional?
Affordability.
Okay.
College freshman affordability.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, this box is less than $15. I can do that.
Yeah.
Every month or so. That plus hair coloring led my hair to be extremely damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting a lot of negative feedback in college, particularly from guys, I will say, who were like, you know, what's going on here? I cut my hair pretty short at one point, and a friend of mine said it was the menopause haircut.
Ooh.
Another guy used to call me a broke-ass Tina Turner, terrible. Like, just people were mean.
Ouch.
I know, right? But I was just trying to figure it out. I'm so glad this was all pre-social media. But over time, I really started to question, why am I doing this? So the last time I relaxed my hair, again, was for my family for our wedding, which was 22 years ago this May. So that was it. I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Mm-hmm.
And that all led me to start Afrobella, honestly, because mm-hmm. I wanted to share my journey and share the things that I had learned and share some of the questions that I was asking myself, and that we don't have to wrap ourselves up in this Eurocentric standard of beauty anymore.
Yeah. I remember, for me personally, I did also stop using relaxers. For folks who have never seen me before, I have locks. I'm in my hair right now. And I remember learning the pattern and texture of my hair as an adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the feeling of running my hand through my hair and being like, oh, this is what my hair feels like, you know, as a grown person.
Yeah. Aaron, I would say that these lawsuits also tell a story of Black women's hair journey.
Ah.
So Patrice is talking about using the box perms.
Uh-huh.
And these lawsuits don't just target those, but the box perms are a big part of it.
Okay.
And if you are applying these chemicals yourself and you don't have professional experience, even though these boxes are cheap and they are not, they're marketing toward everyday people. One stylist I talked to said, look at me. I'm not putting the relaxer on the scalp. I'm only putting it on the new growth.
Yes.
And so she does not recommend that people use these boxes. Now, the boxes, Just For Me, The Jingle, Dark and Lovely. The reason why this case is significant to Chicago is because so many of these companies were based here.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Yes.
And so there was Soft Sheen, Johnson Products. These companies are now owned by multinational companies. But these were a source of pride in Black America. And they were on 87th Street. Now, they just didn't do relaxers. I want to be very clear. And we know that Johnson Products help subsidize Soul Train.
Yeah.
You know, there's Ultra Sheen, there's Grease, there are all
kinds. Sheen was like the Afro Sheen. It didn't have nothing to do with relaxer a lot of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But the products that were out there were not for natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I was in college, flirted with going natural. This is in the mid-90s, but hair is not my ministry. I've been going to the salon every 2 weeks since I was about 9 years old.
Okay.
So that is me.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2007, my stylist here said, you know what, you don't need a perm anymore. Like, I can straighten your hair with the blow dryer. And so I still get my hair done faithfully, but I straighten it. My stylist straightens it with curling irons and blow dryers. But
heat.
In the summer, with heat. But in the summer, I wear cornrows and braids to give my hair a break. And it's been an ongoing journey for me to even understand my own texture.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm reading about all of this, I keep thinking about also this Johnson & Johnson lawsuit that happened a while ago with this talc in baby powder and how it was specifically marketed to Black women to keep them fresh and clean down there, you know, quote unquote. And now there's evidence that the talc in their powder could cause ovarian cancer and that Johnson & Johnson knew about all of this and continued to do this marketing. And all this with the relaxers is giving racism, is giving respectability politics. You talked about this a little bit earlier, Natalie.
Sexism, because these are women.
Also sexism. Patrice, in your conversation with Natalie, you said it's important for us to know, quote, where our choices come from. Can you talk about where those choices come from as it relates to society, particularly when it comes to white beauty standards and what is seen as attractive and respectable?
Right. I think that we have been given and sold a false bill of goods for a long time. I think that the products that have been marketed to us frequently have been made with ingredients that don't have our best interests at heart. So where do our choices come from? I think a lot of it comes from kind of feeling like you have to maintain that standard of beauty. Also, the cost of some of these products, the availability of these products, the marketing of these products, they were pushed on us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, with catchy jingles and ads and all of the things, you know. So your choice also comes down sometimes to ease and to needing to make your life easier. And the, you see these things as shortcuts, you know, mm-hmm. to get yourself out the door quicker, to make sure your child is presentable, to make sure that you are professional looking for the office, all of those things. And it's the general message that we've been given that we almost have to police each other in some ways.
Yes.
You know, so where does it end is that other question. How do we stop judging each other's choices? And also, how do we stop looking at somebody and saying they should do this, they should do that?
Mm-hmm.
I just went on Instagram. I saw a gentleman applying a relaxer to his beard because he wanted it to look more
Girl,
loose.
Girl, what?
You're putting it on your face, dude. What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You've talked about this also in your reporting, just the racial and sexism component. What would you add to that, Natalie?
I think that we do have to remember that we, you know, I straighten my hair. Like, Do I think I have low self-esteem as a Black woman to beauty standards? No, but I do realize that I'm impacted by white supremacy and colonialism. No matter the choice that I am making, you know, I like to think that Black women have versatility with their hair that other races don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that I can do these multiple things
mm-hmm.
with my hair. But even still, I think that we also have to look at the role that men even play. Like, they want women with, you know, quote unquote, good hair and lighter skin. And what is valued,
mm-hmm.
not just by, you know, external forces, but within our own community, what is seen as beautiful. I also want to talk about holding up the mirror to white America, because it's not just respectability in an intra-racial sense, but can you be an anchor on television with natural hair? Back in the day, no. What was seen as an acceptable hairstyle, particularly in corporate America. So there has been discrimination against African Americans, men and women, who wear natural hair. So in 2019, Illinois and 23 other states have adopted some version of the Crown Act, creating a respectful and open world natural hair. And that's legislation that expands discrimination laws to include ethnic hairstyles.
Yeah.
And so with that, then you have more people who can be comfortable. I mean, not only does Erin have locks, the side of her head is shaved.
It was and red sometimes, oh, less and than I'll a
say,
month
I,
ago.
And I'm about to say, and there's color in there sometimes. I think there's some purple in there
it's
today.
A little purple going on a little bit, yeah.
And, you know, Erin shows up as her full, authentic self every day. And I don't know, 5, 10 years ago, I'm speaking for you. I don't know what your experience has been mm-hmm. with your hair in the workplace.
I mean, in your reporting, you talked about people who would straighten their hair for a job interview, even though that's not how they normally wear their hair. And 5, 10 years ago, I didn't straighten my hair for a job interview, but I would pull it back. Mm-hmm. I had a fro and I would slick that thing back, you know, and tie it up and whip it up, you know, for my interviews. And so it wasn't, again, it wasn't as much as, you know, the straightening process, but there was a level of paring down and quote unquote taming that you talked about earlier, Natalie, that would go on when it comes to making sure that I can make my livelihood. Yeah. Many, just going back to these very stark kind of health situations that are happening with Black women with these relaxers. Many of these cancers and illnesses are happening within people's reproductive organs. I've been hearing about fibroids and extreme menstruation symptoms with my friends who are Black. I've heard colleagues here at the station who've talked about, you know, they can no longer carry a child because of their reproductive problems with their with fibroids, with their uterus. People at the doctor's office, the list goes on. And as you mentioned earlier, Natalie, Black women have been dealing with uterine and reproductive problems way more than other women and people with uteruses. And I mean, and to, you know, we're talking about correlation versus causation. I mean, the correlation is that also 90% of Black women have used hair relaxers at some point in their life. I'm thinking about all my older cousins and aunties and my grandmothers walking around with relaxed hair and baby powder in their underwear, you know. Yeah. And Patrice, with your writing and the research in the beauty space that you do with Afrobella, are you making these connections as well between the products and the reproductive health of Black women?
Absolutely. You said aunties and it just rang a bell for me because I have two aunts who have had breast cancer and have had to have their breasts removed. I don't know if it's a direct correlation, but they were both very invested in their hair salon journey throughout their lives. And that meant getting your hair colored regularly as well as getting your hair relaxed regularly. We weren't a family that grew up being aware of having a history of cancer. So when my first aunt had, they both had also fibroid surgeries. I have had fibroid surgery, you know, so it's something that I think has been almost, we think it's part of our genetic makeup or part of our destiny, but you have to wonder when it really began and where it took us.
Yeah.
I thought that heavy, heavy periods were just part of the journey for me. I didn't question the debilitating condition of having heavy blood clots and all of those things until I started realizing, wait, this is really serious. I can't function.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go to a doctor. And then it was like, oh, I have fibroids. Oh, just like my aunts did, just like my mom does. You know what I mean? Like, and it was something that I didn't realize that could have been triggered by an external source.
Yes, because so many people in your family have it. You're like, maybe it's genetic.
Absolutely. Yeah. So many women have it in the Caribbean. So many women have them in Africa. So many women have them in America. You know, you just kind of feel like it's a Black thing that we get as we step into our late 30s and 40s. I mean, there's so many conditions that women are suffering with that could be caused by some of the choices that were made for us.
Mm. Natalie, based on your reporting and what you know at this juncture, what do you think might happen as a result of these lawsuits that are happening, you know, just right now?
We may not get these answers in our lifetime. The way the lawsuit is going, it could be in discovery for 10 years.
Wow.
I know that they're looking for whistleblowers from these companies. You can say, yes, we knew these things. But I think in the now, putting warning labels on, the FDA has proposed a rule. You know, one of the lawyers we talked to said maybe this would be like cigarettes.
I think it's going to be like cigarettes. no, they're not off the market, but they have a warning label on the side. And that way women can make an informed decision.
People who are making these choices need to have all the answers. And so if there's a warning label, which currently there is not, that's a step in accountability or making consumers more informed.
Mm-hmm. Patrice, hearing that and hearing this kind of long-term projection that that Natalie is talking about, what are you hoping for, given all that you know now?
I am not such an optimist that I think these products are going to go away. The interest and desire for them will continue, much in the same way that people are aware of the dangers of bleaching cream and they still continue to be popular sellers in overseas countries and in certain societies. I think that people will always want to be able to buy hair relaxers. So I do think that warning labels are a good beginning. And I think that a warning label on these packages, especially the ones that are marketed to children, is going to make people really question, why am I doing this to my child? You know, one of the saddest experiences I had being a hair influencer or a hair person was at the Bud Billiken Day Parade. And a woman came up to me. I was working with a popular hair brand at the time. We were handing out samples. And she had a child in a wheelchair who had cerebral palsy or something. She was unable to speak for herself. Mm-hmm. And she said, I used three different relaxers on her back to back and it won't take. And I was heartbroken. Heartbroken, because I was like, why are you doing this to your disabled child? For why? Yeah. Like, for who? You know? Ask yourself that question and you could be burning her, you could be hurting her, and she can't speak for herself. Mm. You know, so it's like the education can come in that moment, but it will really stick when it's literally a sticker. Mm. When you're able to go to the store and see, oh, this says that this is going to do this, this, and that, and then not pick it up. And it would be a choice that, that those consumers would have to make at that time because they're confronted with the fact. Mm-hmm. There's not always going to be somebody whispering in your ear saying you don't need to buy this.
Yeah. Patrice Yersic is the creator of Afrobella.com. Patrice, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Natalie Moore is a reporter and editor here at WBEZ. Natalie, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Aaron.
Natalie Moore and Andy Grimm did extensive reporting on all of this. You can find that at WBEZ.org. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown and to Ariel Van Clee for editing the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you later.